Welcome to another episode of the Hella Tired Podcast. I am your host, per usually, the Bubba McComb, a.k.a. the Sad Boy Shinobi, a.k.a. Willy Wonka's Wonder, a.k.a. the Suffering Succotash of Sylvania. I bring you another episode of the Hella Tired Podcast with a very special guest today, my friend, local comedian, veteran, all-around badass, undercover badass, honestly. Please give a silent round of applause for Mr. Jim Perry, a.k.a. the cop comic, a.k.a. police poppy, a.k.a. Baton mommy. Hello, sir. Welcome to the podcast.
That's awesome. Those are the best AKAs I've ever had.
Yeah, dude, I don't know where the fuck, man.
Usually I got AKA pig scum or something like that.
Yeah, AKA X fuck fuck. No, dude,
AKA
welcome.
AKA oink oink.
Welcome to the podcast. Very excited to have you. For those who you don't know, Jim Perry is a comedian based out of Phoenix, Arizona. He's also a director, a writer, an actor, amongst many things. He started comedy here in Arizona last year, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. And then so really early in my what would be called, I guess, comedy career so far. Yeah, introduced to Jim really early. We did a couple of contests together. Super fucking nice guy. Very good joke writer. And so we're doing a show together on July 7th at Scottsdale Comedy Spot Comedy Club. We have a 7:30 and a 9:30 show now that was just added. So congrats to you on that second show.
Yeah. And just a quick correction, 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
It looks like we're going to have a 9 o'clock as well.
Okay. So. 7 and 9, not 7:30 and 9. Don't fucking show up late, dude. They will lock your ass out.
You got to tell comedians 6:45.
Oh, and, dude, you got to lie to them. Yeah. You got to be like, yeah, show starts at 6. And it's just like, honestly, man, as someone who's starting to run a somewhat of a show, if someone, that's it, man. If someone doesn't show up for their set or they show up like an hour late, go do your set, but then that's it. Like, sorry. Yeah. I can't risk that early in trying to run shows if someone already fucking it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, coming from a military background, I really stand by if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late.
Right, and you were.
I tend to be early for everything.
You were literally 15 minutes early. It was like 4:45 or 4:40, and I was like, I should probably set up everything. Like, Jim will probably be here in about 20 minutes, and I get a text like 5 minutes later. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, and 10 minutes earlier than that, I was out on the curb, so there you go.
Yeah, and not the friendliest of curbs in Phoenix.
It's all good.
My curb is a little sketchy. It's got couches on it right now.
Nice.
It's got a whole bunch of big debris that they want to throw away next door. My next door neighbors are fucking sketchy, dude.
I might be on one of those couches if the old lady finds out I'm doing your podcast. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, man. She'll find it.
Yeah, she finds everything. No, thanks for having me, brother. This is awesome.
Of course, man. Yeah, it's great. And again, we're doing a show July 7th. Get your tickets. The 7 o'clock show is almost sold out. So by the time this comes out tomorrow, who knows, it might be sold out.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, make sure you buy a ticket. It is to full benefit. Well, this part of the show I will let Jim explain. He set up the whole event, so please let everybody know what this event is for.
Yeah, it's a benefit show. So all the proceeds, profits are going to be helping fallen police officers, fallen firefighters, and then a portion of that will also be going to disabled veterans.
Cool.
So for me, that's a special place. I was a policeman almost 10 years, mm-hmm. kind of injured, and this is my small way of how I can give back.
Yeah, and it's only small to your perception, man. Like, you're limiting that. I get it. As a creative person, as an artist, as someone who wants to help, you usually don't give yourself enough credit. But, like, just two sold out shows for that cause is just fucking way more than anyone usually does for anything.
Yeah, we're excited.
Yeah, man. But that's a great way to do things. And yeah, it's just not enough things like that, I think, in comedy happen. You know, they do have benefit shows for comedians that are falling on hard times or
for sure.
comedians' families. But if it was a little more widespread, I think, I don't know, I think it might draw even more people knowing that it's just not just comedians for comedians, but generalized noble causes. And I'm sure there are plenty of shows scattered around the U.S., that do the same thing. But here, it feel like I haven't really seen stuff like that particularly happen very often.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to create here in Phoenix.
Yeah, and it's a comedy show fundraiser. It's not a fundraiser with some comedy.
That's right. Because
that happens a lot, which is great. You know, you always want a comedy
personnel or someone that can bring a lighthearted energy into the room at a fundraiser or whatever, but to have a comedy show that doubles as a fundraiser, that's a pretty cool big step. And so congrats on setting all that up, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we have two cool things that are happening. ABC and then a local channel here, Channel 3, is allowing us to go on there too to further promote for that
Very
second
cool.
show. And then kind of bummer news, but I was telling you this off the air, is I did have a buddy that was a police officer that chose to take his life a few weeks ago. Mm. So we're going to do a special collection for him.
Sure.
But it is also a show, and why I do comedy, just to kind of show the public and tell the public, you know, we're real people too. We're normal
sure.
people. And I get it. People have had shitty experiences at times with the police.
Everybody
has. I have too.
I'm about to say, exactly.
I had to work with them. So
right.
yeah,
me
go.
Too, man. I worked on the ambulance. I met some cool cops, and I met some cops. It's like, so you're the one everyone's talking to. Like, you're the fucking guy
exactly.
that everybody hates, man. Like you said, you see such a mixed sort like pool of examples, and if you don't experience it firsthand, you're only getting cuts of whatever. And you know, police are definitely under fire at this point in time in America. That's just the way it is. I think that the accountability needs to be there, but some people take it way too fucking far, man.
Yeah.
And there's a way to sift out that without being hate filled. And even on my end, man, I'm guilty of a couple of occasions, a couple of videos I've seen. It's just like, dude, it's really hard to be just a generalized, like generally on the side of the law when usually that's all that you're exposed to. And it's intended.
Agree.
It's
I
not,
completely agree.
Yeah, it's intended. And then you see, it's gotten so bad now where you see a video of a cop being cool to some like underprivileged kids or what have you. And everyone's like, fucking fake ass.
It must be set up.
Fake
right?
ass fucking cop just trying to show everyone that they can get along with you. Like, no, man. Like, some people are just really like that. You know what I mean? So you got to take it case by case.
Yeah, to go on a couple of points you said. I mean, I only could talk about my experience, right?
Sure.
So 99% of the police that I've met and that I've worked with and I've encountered have been awesome people. But have I ever worked with a jagoff? Absolutely.
I
remember one guy. I would race to calls to get there before he did because I knew he'd start a fight. And I would literally get there before him and say everything was fine when it wasn't,
right.
just to tell that backup and that guy not to show up to the call.
Sure. No matter what the risk.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
Shots fired. Hey, man, everything's cool.
Everything's good.
Go back. Hey, man, you want to get us a latte? I don't fucking know, dude, yet.
And what's funny is in doing police work almost 10 years, I got into a handful of fights, maybe.
Sure.
And this guy seemed to get into a handful of fights a week. And it just shows you the difference of the, you know, you got to know how to communicate correctly.
Yeah. And two, you know, and this is what makes where we live such an awesome place, is anyone can essentially be anything if they want to. They train, they pass a test, yada, yada. But some people just are inherently not able to handle authority correctly.
Absolutely.
You know, it's the first time they've ever felt it before or something, and maybe it's a guy that didn't get a whole lot of respect growing up. And I'm not saying, again, man, like people shouldn't be in positions because of XYZ, like some cases that will apply to. But and for the police officers, like it's just kind of like, anyone can become a police officer right now, and it's great and they need it. But I mean, it's great to what extent? Like, then you're going to allow these dudes that are just like displaying the wrong way to be a police officer. And then like, those are the only things that make the news or get circulated.
Exactly.
And it's fucking crazy, man. It's a weird world to even have played a small part in, just going on calls with police on scene and just seeing like the way they handle it and how like detached some firemen and police are and nurses just whoop, emotionless or just almost annoyed at the fact that they have to help or handle somebody. And it applies through all EMS.
Oh, yeah.
Not absolutely. Just cops, man. There's some firemen, and I will never say names or whatever. That's not important, but there's some firemen I've rode on the ambulance with that's just like, dude, you're a fucking captain. Like, you're in control of people and how things go. Like, holy shit,
who
dude.
Do you know, kind of
I would fucking hate for you to run on my family, like, or to go to a 911 call that my mom was on or something like that. And, like, you usually don't really take that the perspective into account when you're just hearing stories and it hasn't happened to you. But as a former police officer, as a former EMS worker, it's just like, yep. It's everywhere. It's not just police. It's literally every single level of a customer service, yeah, no matter how small or large.
You could be a telemarketer, and I'm sure there's a guy in that room that's an asshole. But that guy that I was talking about, fortunately, he's not a police officer anymore. Good. Ironically, he got in trouble for doing the wrong thing.
So you can say his name then if you want. Yeah.
No, I can't do that. What I can tell you though is, you know, you always hear like, why don't the good cops ever say anything?
Sure.
And I would encourage your listeners to Google a name, Eddie Hicks. Mm-hmm. Eddie Hicks. And that's a police officer that was corrupt. He was one that was shaking down drug dealers and taking their money, like Training Day shit.
Sure.
And I testified against him. So my point is that there are guys out there that are testifying against those bad things.
Right.
And then you mentioned the news. So I'm going to give you my soapbox on that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a lot of times, at least from my thought process, is that you see 5-10 seconds of an encounter that was 15 minutes long.
Sure.
And then the joke I've made is, you know, I'd hate for someone to see 5-10 seconds of my last porn video that I recorded.
But then again,
who wants to watch, you know, nine minutes of me eating sandwiches?
Someone's out there that was like, yo, I'd fuck, yeah.
But my point is, I think, in my opinion, that when it comes to politics, when it comes to news, and it comes to the information that we receive at times, it is to the best interest to have us all hate each other because there's money in it.
There's a whole lot.
And it reminds me of back in the day when it seems like every other week there was a shark attack in Florida.
Right.
If you research that, and when all those news stories were coming out, there was the same amount of shark attacks that year than any year prior to that.
They just chose.
But they chose to absolutely isolate that.
Yep.
That doesn't mean, now I don't mean to make light of the stuff that's for real.
I mean,
there is definitely a problem out there. These guys need to
absolutely
be held accountable. But sometimes it's not always what it appears to be.
Right. Yeah. No. And that's you know, a responsibility of ours as consumers of media to try and wade through the bullshit. And you can't anymore. So what I've done is I've just completely detached myself completely from what's going on in the world. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, I haven't watched, dude, I haven't watched or read or listened to a piece of news, dude, probably since before high school.
Well, what's crazy, like, too, is the news is so fucking negative
that
if you
man.
Look at the news 5 years, 10 years, 20 years ago, it was a different clown and it was the same old shit.
Sure.
I'm telling you, there's so much money in war and money in us hating each other. If we all got along, they wouldn't know what to do.
Because
then all of a sudden we would actually group up and get something done.
Do you understand how much less American flag apparel would be sold if there was no war?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, hell yeah. Like fucking World War champions,
hoorah!
Like fucking America. Like that's just
America.
That's blind pride, and people like that exist kind of scare me too, to be honest. But yeah, man, I take life and my opinions and things. Now I do slip up from time to time, just like everybody else does, man. Hate creeps into your heart, but negativity and positivity does too on the other end of the spectrum. But I just base my opinions off of just what happened last, what I have experienced last or whatever. Like, people's stories and accounts of things can always be twisted or exaggerated. I'm not saying these things don't happen. I'm just saying the things I pay attention to and choose to put my energy towards are just things that are tangible for me.
Yeah.
Or am I able to actually make a difference by speaking on this or typing my fucking opinion on Facebook? Usually not. But like, it's just a lot of wasted energy. People are gonna hate who they hate, love who they love, and people who just try to sway those opinions so strongly fuel that hate because
absolutely
the nature to resist an opposing opinion is just like, it'll never end. So I'm just like, yep, all right, man, fuck it. Like, whatever. If you're a cop and you're cool, come over, let's fucking hang out, high five and shit. But if you're a piece of shit, I don't care if you're a cop or not, like, you're not gonna get the respect.
Well, it's even funny in the comedy circuit, at least here in Phoenix. I've been out here since December. And at first it was like, oh shit, who's this guy? And then it was an initial thought of, he was a cop. He I smoke pot on the patio, I'm fucked. And it's like, the funny thing is I do see that opinion now so changing weird. Because the guys keep seeing me and sure. I'm not that guy.
No, and you're not a fucking cop anymore.
Right, I have no enforcement
powers.
What
the fuck are you going to do? Then you'd literally be a tattletale.
Yeah, a professional snitch.
Not even, just a regular snitch now.
Yeah,
just
right.
Fucking, hey, 911? Yeah, you wouldn't call Sergeant so-and-so in Phoenix.
Smoking again.
Yeah. Dude, I'm getting secondhand high and I'm trying to get a fucking job at Costco, dude. Get me out of here. But yeah.
No,
and,
it's been cool to see that change in perspective though with some of the younger guys.
Good.
Because for me, it's important that they know that we're not all bad.
No,
and
man.
And it's not, everything they hear is not true.
Sure. Sure.
So that's important.
Yep. And the more you come around, the more you hang out, the more you just fucking literally just exist around comedians and their, you know, levels of buffoonery, whatever.
Right.
Then the more comfortable everyone's going to get no matter what. You just started out with a roadblock. Like, oh, shit. Like,
He
was a cop, but like how much about it is he still? Like, is he still like... fucking, you know, uphold the law, like citizen's arrest type guy, like no one fucking knows. And just words like, oh yeah, I used to be a cop, is just like, all right, now we gotta for sure see if you're down though.
Yeah,
dude,
the
like,
walls come up a little bit.
Exactly. And it's just nature right now. But yeah, as you said, you come around more, you do more sets in front of people, you laugh, and you're around things that, you know, if you were a real bitch you could get someone in trouble for. And you don't, it's not your, not that it's not your business, but it's just like, you understand there's no fucking benefit in doing that.
Right, of course.
Not only for a comedy career, but just as like a person, especially if it's weed. If you're seeing someone smoking meth on the patio or like, flicking needles and shit, like,
well,
okay, I'm going to call someone too, bro.
What's funny is I come from a family that would call me every other week and ask me if they were wanted in certain towns.
Jesus Christ.
Half my family's in prison. So that was one of the main reasons. Yeah, it was.
Am I allowed to go to Kansas, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, literally, it was almost like that. But I mean, that was one of the main reasons I became a police officer, because all the negative experiences my family had and what I had in my own house.
Sure.
I grew up in a very poor, abusive home and saw policemen in and out of our house. And
right.
To do something different was cool. And towards the end of my career, I ended up being too nice, because they ended up putting me with the kids for a little bit. I was doing like the DARE, officer friendly.
Oh, you were
don't
killing
talk
it,
to
huh?
strangers. Yeah.
You're out
and
there
then
killing
the,
shit.
And then the PR guy. And,
yep.
Yeah. And then even the cops are like turning against me. You're just too nice, because I'm like throwing people's weeds away and stuff like that.
Right. Or just pocketing them.
That's that other guy that got fired.
Now, here's something that I definitely want to ask about. And I'm glad that you're open to talking about it. Because again, these questions, just like, you just never know.
I have no policies that I'm within anymore.
So you were more recently than not on Kill Tony and shared a story about how your time as a police officer came to an end abruptly via injury, I found personally absolutely fucking hilarious, because it's not me, right? And just like thinking about the visual you'd explained was just fucking hilarious. And I know probably at the time, definitely not a funny situation, but I'm sure enough time has passed where you can look back and kind of chuckle at it. But
yeah,
so please, if you would, let everyone know how that came to be.
Yeah. So I got injured in two different ways.
Okay.
So, the first time I got called on a, burglary call at 3 o'clock in the morning at like an IHOP restaurant.
Nice.
And we're thinking the guy's still in there. We're not sure. We got our guns drawn, and I'm walking through a kitchen to, you know, find this guy. And I literally slip on my ass and fall on bacon grease. So the oink oink
How
jokes,
ironic.
Yeah, have not ended since then.
Dude, that is so, there's so many layers to the irony.
Yes. So I need to write a bit about that. So oink oink hasn't left. And then I would say maybe a month or possibly two months after that, I volunteered to be tased. We have like taser training.
Right.
So taser is like no joke, man. It's like 50,000 volts of electricity.
Fuck that. Especially the ones the police officers carry. It's not like the little handheld ones you buy at the damn swap meet, you know?
And you learn a lot about your fellow officer during that training. You know, you got guys calling out for their mommy. And fucking, yeah, it's a little crazy. And I didn't get the memo that you're not supposed to eat like Taco Bell right before the training.
Okay.
So Yeah, there was a little Gordita crunch on the floor. I know that's a shitty joke. But anyway, what happened was I got tased, and when they tase you, they're holding you on each side so you don't fall and hit your face.
Right.
Well, one of the guys didn't allow my arm to move, and because of that, my shoulder's all fucked up.
Yeah.
So I had to re-identify myself. So right. I ended up settling with them over that, and then I opened up a security business, and sure. we're doing great with that, but... it made sense with my free time to do something I enjoy and what I wanted.
Yeah.
And now what's funny about comedy and with my background is because I've been doing theater and improv for 10 years.
Sure.
But been doing stand-up comedy for about a year.
Right.
Full time, seriously.
Cool.
But the thing is that you're not allowed to talk about that stuff when you're on the police department.
Like an NDA type shit?
Yeah. Okay. So you just can't share that. Or at least some departments are more strict than others about
okay.
it. And now that I'm not there anymore, yeah. I mean, it would be a sin not to share some of the shit that's happened
Dude,
to me.
Dude, you have got to structure that whole story.
Yeah. Like, I got to think about
oh
something.
Oh my God. That is so fucking... Dude, that is like such a one of one story. You know? Yeah. You got hurt... Pure irony, dude. Like, that's the setup right there. Like, I fucking slipped in bacon grease.
Right, right.
At an IHOP.
I
while
think the joke
while
ends
the,
there.
Yeah, while the beignets were frying, like, you know, or whatever, right? And then you go, and then they got put me with a fucking taser class. And dude,
yeah,
I literally,
that's not a joke. I shit myself. I mean, I shit myself. Yeah, I'm totally down to admit that.
Dude, we need to get. Three or four of us together, dude, and write that story five different ways, dude, and make sure that will... Oh, my God, man. That is such a unique story.
I hate to plug my YouTube channel.
Please
but
it, do,
but
man.
If I do, on my YouTube channel, it's Jim Perry, the comedy channel. There's a video of me being tased.
So that's the one?
You can't tell that I shit myself, but you can hear me screaming and yelling for God. And
we're
going to
link
else.
That video directly yeah. in the description.
But it's on there.
Dude, that is so fucking funny. How many hits does that have?
I'm not sure.
You got to recirculate it, dude. We'll recirculate it. Yeah.
You can probably hear me screaming.
So. Yeah. Well, you know... despite all that, I'm kind of happy that happened because we wouldn't be here hanging out, talking, and we probably would have never been friends.
You know, what's crazy is when that first happened, if I'm being completely honest,
sure.
I was really depressed.
Oh, there's no way you wouldn't be.
I mean, I was so depressed that I even thought about taking my life.
Mm-hmm.
That was my whole identity. I was like, I'm married now, I have two kids, and I'm like, what am I going to do? How am I going to provide for my family? And what's so crazy is, because I was telling you about my friend that killed himself.
Right.
You know, we all have to remember, in my opinion anyway, not to make it too serious, but
sure.
everybody's broken. Everyone suffers, in my opinion, from some type of hurt, habit, or hang up.
Right.
And if we really just wait to the next day or wait to the next moment mm-hmm. or seek help in some capacity.
Sure.
And that's what I did. I seeked help. I was having thoughts that were so negative that I had to get help.
Right.
And, now that dark place has turned into nothing but light.
Yeah.
And I'm so much happier.
And you can draw from it. The,
yeah.
the further you get away from this, from the happening, the funnier it can become.
Right. And I mean,
know?
I am to a
not,
point.
Not someone taking their life. That's, I mean, in certain contexts, the conversation of suicide and its components can be comedic, but like the actual happening and act and of losing someone and just... having that reality set in that at least in this time and place, like we won't be able to share an experience together. And like, I've had, you know, a handful of friends to, you know, end their life in different ways. And it's just like, I think I've experienced it, so much to the point, or just death in general so much that it really, and it just doesn't, I'm not desensitized. And even through EMS and stuff, just seeing people just die right in front of me, like a lot. And it's just like, all right, man. And I know this sounds so cliche, but it finally just settled in maybe about a year ago or so. It's just like, everybody has got to go. Like nobody is like, oh man, I made it to the next day and I'm just going to keep going forever. Like everybody has an expiration date. And like, that's oddly comforting to me. to know that the only shared experience that we all have is breathing and dying.
Right.
And breathing is something that we can play with.
We all know the end of the story.
Yeah, we can control it. We can do it. But there's no, like, I wonder what happens in 100 years. Like, there's no mystery. It's the only mystery is what happens after, right?
Yeah.
Well, mystery to some. Some people think they have it, you know, pretty solidified, but it's fine.
Amen.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, I'm done caring about what people believe. I don't care anymore. If that's what makes you feel whole and that's what makes you
hope, God bless.
Fuck it, dude. If how many times have I needed hope and I had to draw from anything but God? It's been admittedly like a lot harder to not have an anchoring, like, you know, source of my life to like, okay. Like the word faith is just, you know, trust and believing something's real without it being tangible. You can't see it. You can't necessarily feel it, but you know it's there. And there's plenty of times in my life where there's little like flickers of whatever the idea is of God being present, but the road to believing in something that there's like something out there helping you along, I don't care what people believe in. If they believe in Jesus, if they believe in fucking Satan being the one that's helping everyone out, don't care anymore. Yeah, I really just don't care. As long as people are fucking being good to each other out of the name of whatever the fuck they believe in, dude, I back it. But there's people out there, just like anyone, people who don't believe in religion or a religion or people who do, there's extremes on both ends of the spectrum.
It's important to talk about, though. I mean, back to the suicide thing. My thing is, my message is just if somebody listening has any of those kind of thoughts, is that really wait to the next day and know that even if you don't have a circle of influence that's positive, there's organizations and stuff out there to help you.
Yeah.
And then coming from the police department, there's so many of us, and you coming from the EMS field, you see so much shit.
Right.
And so much garbage. I'm talking like dead kids, people taking their lives, murders. I mean, just the disgusting part of humanity. They don't call you to the house because they're having a good day.
Right.
And
right.
And that can fuck with your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, you know, veterans that have seen war and awful things.
Right.
But my point is, the reason I got in comedy, and I really think that if there's a way that you can bring some laugh to that,
yes,
and that's my process and my way to deal with that. And I know there's guys that have heard my stuff, and I'm saying pig jokes and donut jokes,
right?
But I do have a feeling that the maturity of my comedy will get me there.
Yeah,
and it takes time.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Some of that shit's not easy to write about it either,
dude. So. And that's the thing too, man. Especially with comedy is. The more you do it, the better you get. Mm-hmm. It's like, unless you're not paying attention, you know? And right. Like me and you are still baby comics, dude.
Yeah.
Like, for real. And I'm not preaching knowledge, but I'm like a sponge, man. I try to take in everything. Anything anyone has to say, I want to listen to. Some of it I don't take because of maybe, like, I don't know them or like who the fuck are they to
or
whatever.
Sometimes what's their motivation?
Exactly. Sometimes those thoughts creep in and whatever, but if... Dude,
funny is funny though, man. I mean, comedy, like what we were talking about, is subjective. Like I have this joke I hate saying. There's this joke I do where I put pig ears on.
Right.
And I say oink, oink, oink or something like that.
Right, right.
And I hate that fucking joke. And the only reason I keep saying it is my wife fucking loves it.
yeah.
And the reason she loves it is my wife's a dad joke kind of guy.
Yeah.
Or kind of gal. And my point is there's all kinds of different types of people that like different stuff.
Yeah.
You got some people that like fucking Carrot Top, and then you got people that are all about George Carlin.
Yep.
So my thing has always been, I like all different types of music.
Right.
And I like all different types of comedy.
Right. And not everyone's like that. And and there's a couple of people, again, names aren't important, that I look up to as comedians that I have seen, so sorry, absolutely fucking bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoa, bomb. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that makes me like, especially when I first started, I was like, oh, okay. Like everybody doesn't do good sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I will never blame an audience or like a room necessarily, unless it's like too wild or too unattentive. But, I've like done really well a couple of times. And then like even more handful of times I've just fallen so flat that I'm like, what the fuck went wrong? And I get so analytical and just the nature of caring about what you're presenting is going to make you better.
Oh, absolutely.
Eating shit, doing better, doing mediocre, sitting down, rewriting, listening to your sets. Like, every time you put focus into that craft or any craft of that matter, like, you progress if you're paying attention.
I saw you do an act 6 months ago, and then I saw you do an act last night. Night and day.
Thank you,
and
dude.
You weren't bad 6 months ago.
Thank you,
but
dude.
My point is, you can see the progression.
Cool.
And hopefully that's happening with all of us.
Yeah, and I feel it, which feels great, and you do too. Like,
And then you look back at tape like 6 months ago, and you're like, "Yeah, I'm fucking the shit. That's funny." And then you look back at it, at least for me,
dude.
And I'm like, "Let me delete this off my YouTube. This is terrible."
I have my first set ever on my YouTube, and I don't tell any of that anymore. And that hasn't even been a year yet. I'm just like, no. Can't do that shit. And it's just like, and I think what really humbled me too, dude, is This Week Sucks Tonight.
Oh, okay.
So there's a live show every Thursday in Phoenix at Stand Up Live, hosted by Anwar Newton
and Michael Turner. Right?
It's not, so here's what it is. And I didn't know any format of the show before I asked them to be on it. I thought it was just a sign up, dude. Like a sign up, and it's comedians after the show.
Like a Kill Tony Rose thing?
Dude, it's pretty fucking. So what happens is they play maybe like a 30 minutes of clips, and they talk about the clips and stuff. It's funny, funny, funny. It's a great show. And then they get to the comedic part where they bring up a comedian and they're telling jokes on stage, but sometimes Anwar and Michael will interrupt and like question what you're talking about, or just like, you know, chime in. But if you're not telling structured jokes, they'd be like, do you have a structured joke for us? And dude, I had no idea that they did that. And some of my jokes 6-7 months ago were long.
Yeah.
And right before I got to the quote unquote punchline or whatever, they just interrupted me like, punchline, please. And I'm like, whoa, dude, what the fuck's happening? They kept interrupting me. And then they said like something about my shoes. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? I was so embarrassed and so humbled. And I was like, okay, I never wanted that to happen again, dude. And then I started actually writing, like structuring as best I can my thoughts and stuff. And so just being dismantled like that makes you a better comedian too, man. And I welcome those experiences now that you just try new stuff and nobody laughs.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, that's one. And you rewrite a little bit of it. You try it again. No one laughs. Like, fuck. You rewrite it a little bit. Third time, two or three people laugh. You're like, all right, fuck, dude. Now I have to keep trying to build it. If you get any rise, it's like,
ah. That'll kill you. I mean, in the beginning, I used to have setups that would go 30, 45 seconds before I got to a punch.
Yeah.
And if that punch doesn't go, then it's like, holy fuck.
It's a wasted minute
and
at
now
that point, right?
The goal, and easier said than done, is to try to write some kind of punch every 10, 15 seconds.
Sure. The LPMs.
And then if one falls, then at least you got one around the corner.
Yep, exactly.
But I am amazed that sometimes people just go up there to preach. Dude, it's like, where's it at?
Sometimes people, it can improv so well in between jokes, or if like a joke falls flat and their response is funnier than anything they could have said about
off
that
the
joke.
Cuff, you know, they didn't write it, they riff.
Dude, you knew who's the best at that, and that doesn't happen very often, but I've seen him absolutely bounce back like a rebound fucking slam dunk. Mike Enders, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
he
I've
can
seen
work
him,
the crowd very
oh
well.
Oh my God. I've seen him like try out some new stuff, and like a couple like people go, you know, like whatever. And he's like, and then he just goes off on why that wasn't funny to someone, or like brings up, you know, like some kind of dialect to where why it wasn't funny, or, oh, you don't think that's funny. And it's not like him turning the crowd against him. It's not him like, what's fuck? What, you don't know whether that's funny. Nothing like that.
He self-deprecates himself at times. And he's great at it.
Favorites, man.
What's tough is the comics that ignore that happen when a joke bombs and you totally ignore it.
Right.
And the audience is like, you need to address that shit.
Yeah. And they start feeling
Mike's
bad.
Great at it. Yeah.
Yeah. They feel bad. Dude. Yeah. Oh my God. So I'm sure it's trade war story real quick. So I went to this, I did this show, you know, comfortably say it's an urban room. There's no fucking other way to describe it. It's just like all black comedians, all black crowd. And I did the show, and it was okay, but like the jokes I had just didn't work. It just did not, not a good night for me, right? And this, like, dude, this is how I know I did bad, bro. This fucking super fat, looked like this fat Mexican dude, like short dude. He was like 5'2". 300 and something pounds. He's like, hey, it's okay, bro. Like, keep going, man. Like, you're pretty funny. I'm like, oh, he's encouraging. Fuck. Nice. I was like, okay, thanks, dude. And this fucking suit. This guy has got to have been a pimp in his life, dude. He was wearing like matching, like silk or satin, whatever fucking garment, like a green alligator print shirt and pants, and had like a fucking top hat with sick ass glasses and all kinds of gold and shit. He's like, hey, the man, pimp. He's like, you still invited to the barbecue though, players. Like, I was like, oh shit. I was like, hell yeah, dude. So like, even like bombing still yields some like comedy out of it, you know, like anything.
It takes balls to go on stage, man.
It really like, does. And then
I was petrified of urban mics. So we have a common urban mic here in Phoenix. I think they just did their last show at Highside.
Yeah.
I literally, my first time going there, I went there, I parked in the parking lot. I knew it was an urban mic, predominantly black crowd. And here I am, former white cop.
Yeah.
And I literally sat in the parking lot and left. I never went in.
Jim.
That's how nervous
God
I was.
God damn it, Jim.
So, no, this story gets better. Okay. So the second time I went, I go in. And fucking bombed. They're like, fuck you. You know, as soon as I say I was a cop, they're like, fuck off.
Yeah.
And then I started to meditate and I started to think about it. And at least from my perspective, you know, I grew up on the south side of Chicago.
Sure.
My high school was 95% black.
Right.
My first girlfriend was black. And I took her to prom. And my thing is, I know the culture. I've been in the culture. And then I embraced that. At my next mic and talked about those things.
Yeah.
And made fun of myself. I think I said something like, what was the joke? I said something like, yeah, I think the saying is once you go black, you won't go back. I'm like, she threw my ass back. She couldn't handle the 4-inch penis.
Or you should be like, once you go black, you can't be a cop. Yeah. And I let the entire south side of Chicago down. I'm not allowed back there anymore. Like,
and then I think the last tag I did was, once you go cracker, you definitely go blacker. And
for
sure. And she lives in Wakanda now. And fucking, they totally embraced me. Right. And it went great.
See, and that's the thing. See,
so now it's funny because now when I do those, it's easy.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I'm not scared of it, but I was a little nervous of it at first.
Well, there's a comic out here, Steve Uriz, who was there last night at Toso. It's the bald guy. Stone Cold Steve Austin, right?
Yeah.
And
I've seen him in urban mics. He does fine.
He kills it. But there's a couple times where he'd open no context with a really like aggressive joke or like a joke involving race, right?
Which I think he makes fun of himself looking like a Nazi,
right? but he didn't always do that though, right? So what he would do is he would go into his best racial material, which is hilarious and
good,
lighthearted. It's fine, but he wasn't talking about himself and how he looks right now. Like right away, I was like, dude, you give people no time to recognize that you're a fun, lighthearted guy here to tell comedy. Like, you get straight into, so I live with a bunch of Mexicans. And I was like, what to me is fucking hilarious, but to some crowds,
you gotta get them there.
I was like, you look like you could for sure be racist. Like, you look like a guy that'd be like, ooh, you know? And then it's like, so address that. And then, so he wrote a couple of things addressing that. And I'm not saying I'm responsible for anything, but now the times I've seen him, he addresses what he looks like immediately. And that opens up a perfect avenue to do racial jokes because they already know, like, okay, this guy's fucking cool. Like, whatever.
Yeah. I walk out immediately now and I'm like, if I see a black girl, a pretty girl, I'm like, hashtag jungle fever, and then go right into my dating jokes back in high school. Oh, but they totally embrace it.
Yeah.
Because they're like, holy fuck, he's going right there.
Sure.
And they want to see that instead of intimidation.
Right.
And I noticed that in the Hispanic rooms too. Yep.
And you don't have to cross a line to be funny.
Right.
It's like that, and people have that. There's only one person I could think of right off top. Again, not into saying names unless I'm paying compliments, but that's just like, that's the only thing they want to do is see how far I can go without getting my ass kicked or something or whatever. And I'm not saying anyone should get their ass kicked for telling comedy. But again, when you give no preface.
Or if they admit on stage that they made the crowd mad and they're going to, my goal here is to make you more mad at me. Like, they'll admit it on stage.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, the individual I'm thinking about, I personally don't think, and again, this is not from a comic perspective, but from an observer and lover of comedy, it's not funny enough to be like that. Like, it's not funny enough to go out there and just shout for 5 fucking minutes about the most aggressive shit you could think of without being like, hey guys, just let you know. Well, I'm about, you don't even have to say that, because that sounds like, you know, people being managed too, but like, I don't know, man, fuck it. Doesn't matter. Someone's going to find that funny, and he'll find his niche group of fans or something. And
I also think,
I don't know, but.
And again, baby comics, right? But I also think that if you're going to go really edgy, at least what I was told by a more senior comic, there's ironic irony there. Even like when you talk about sex and stuff, it's like, you know, have the audience like you, and then get to your more edgy stuff at the end of your set.
Yes.
At least that's...
Get them on your side,
makes
dude.
Sense.
Yep.
To me.
Yep, it's a perfect way
instead
to...
Instead of throwing out the most edgiest shit right in the beginning, and they're like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, and does he mean it or not?
Right.
You know, like...
Yeah, and they're still like, scratching their head, like, is he for real? Or?
Yeah, and some things people say in that demeanor are just undoubtedly funny, and it can be funny in pretty much no matter what they say. Bill Burr, I guess, being one of those people, he can say almost anything, and you kind of can't get mad at it, because you know it's not coming from a place of sheer malice.
Well,
it's,
he's already got the credibility as soon as he...
Right.
Says one word, right?
But right. So yeah, it's interesting, man. I love comedy. I'm so in love with stand-up comedy, dude. Every aspect of it has been great. The only thing I don't like sometimes is how long you have to wait at an open mic.
Oh yeah, that's fun.
That kind of sucks, but other than that, dude, it's all good, man. And you don't ever have
my
to deal with assholes.
My pet peeve is being the guy that's always early, and then the guy that walks on stage that comes in at that exact time or late. And it's all the connection or I don't know what. And I'm just like, damn, man, I've been here a half hour before it started.
He's got to start wearing a fucking hat that says, I'm ready to talk or suck. And then they'd be like, what does your hat mean? And then you could just open up like, hey, man, my name's Jim Perry.
There you go.
Is this something really provocative or thought provoking?
Nice.
So again, I like talking about the EMS type shit, right? It's just like, I don't really get to talk to a lot of people that share... similar experience.
How long did you do that, Bubba?
For about 2.5 years.
So you definitely got some stories then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. It's,
You ever going to choose to write about it, or are you share it in a comedy
you
or not?
Probably. There's just, I'm not trying to toot my own horn or be a braggart, but I've experienced so many things in my life that I'll eventually get to it.
Gotcha.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many things that I have personally experienced that I can't wait to just write about. But like those experiences are in the equation, but it's not like that's not even the most interesting or funniest or coolest thing that's happened or whatever.
Right.
And so, and I'm not the best at being efficient when I'm writing either. Like I'll write down some thoughts that I have that seem funny or a conversation we're having with someone that seems funny. But, I haven't really, really started writing from a place of, I experienced this with EMS yet.
Gotcha.
You know? I think I've talked about
your Thor look is what I heard last night.
yeah. That was, man, dude, I couldn't, but when I went to see that with my dad, and when I saw him, I was like, oh,
did
my
you, did
God.
Did you see my set right before yours?
Yeah.
I mentioned a quick Thor comment.
Right.
So I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it was a nice fucking.
Next time I'm going to do that bit, I'm going to be like, I thought it was Bubba I was talking to.
Yeah, dude, it's so funny, man. It life just wrote itself for me. The way I talk about myself in the beginning of my set, those are not things I think about myself. People have just been open enough with me to tell me I look like that.
Yeah.
You know, someone's girlfriend after an open mic is the one who told me, like, you look like Jay and Silent Bob. I was like, oh my. And people who heard it were howling. And I was like, you just fucking wrote a joke for me. Like, thank you so much, dude. Like, so I tell everybody, like, if you have anything to say to me.
And it's a great thing to say
as soon as
you go up there, because if the audience is thinking it and you squelch that.
Right.
That's fucking awesome.
And I look strange. You know, I don't look, I look like a weird dude, so like I want to address that as soon as possible. I don't want people thinking like, oh, who does he look like?
Or, Stoner Jesus is always what I think.
Yeah, I say like a sketchy, chubby Jesus, or like Jesus's brother that they left out of the Bible. I talked about that for a while, and I'll go back to that every once in a while. But yeah, so it's just life is funny enough right now. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And the whole like food fetish model thing, that's a real thing, dude. Like, I really want to get into that shit, bro. Like, there's
food,
so much
food
money.
Porn?
Not even porn. Literally just me webcamming, dude, just eating food. Like, people are into that shit. It's so weird. Like, I've got a few friends that just make money eating their dinner on Instagram Live or whatever.
Well, if you need an ex-copy donuts, I'll join you for an episode.
Yeah, dude, I'm gonna do it, man. I've been putting that on the back burner, but I need to chase these dreams.
Get
Jim.
Some Boston cream and dribble. And,
yeah, right. I'll eat the donut. Yeah, and we'll I'll put
have
the jelly
whole
hole.
Demographic of gay listeners listening, man.
Dude, or just straight women who are just freaks, dude.
Yeah, they're like the dried up crusty
chubby dried
Boston
up crusty
cream.
White guys with ski masks on, dude. They're I have my demographic, I swear to God. Or just like old greasy men that just like completely genderless, they don't give a fuck, they just want food and skin. Like, dude, I'm telling you, this is not me just talking out of left field. Like, dude, I fucking hate referencing other podcasts on podcasts, especially Joe Rogan, because of how goddamn split people's feelings are between him, and I don't care to hear any of it. But there's a woman on Joe Rogan's podcast who sells her toenails and like hair and like whatever, right? And it just started as like something pretty low key. She is
a
millionaire, Jim.
Oh my God.
She owns multiple homes, one in Seattle, one in San Francisco, another in LA. Like, this lady is set up because there's just.
And it's real.
It's 100% real.
That's
this whole fetish community thing, like, is so actually real. It's crazy, dude.
Wow.
And I'm not knocking anyone's shit, dude. If you want to
start a new website.
That's what I'm saying, dude. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you wanted to see me eat, the fuck, dude? Hit record right now. Like, I swear to God. Like,
start wearing yoga pants and see arches you don't want to see.
I don't even
anymore.
Give a fuck, dude. Send me whatever outfit you want me to wear. I don't know you. Like, I'll do it right now for $100. What the fuck? That's the easiest money. I need money so bad right now. Fuck that, bro. If anyone wants one of my toenails, I'll pay for shipping. Just fucking let me know, dude.
Nice.
But anyways, completely derailed.
I sunburn and peel pretty easily. Maybe I could sell that stuff, huh?
Yeah, you want a fucking
sunburn in a well-lit room.
Yeah, so. Do you want a veteran, ex-cop, comedians, director, actors, dead sunburn skin? Very niche community, very niche fetish. One-click buy on Amazon Prime. Be in your house in 2 days. No, but okay. So, I'm so excited to hear how that got to that. Just now, but what I wanted to know is, what do you have a story you like to share, like a funny, like one of those unbelievable story type shit? Like,
we don't have enough time, but I can share the top few of them.
Dude, we got we got some time. Yeah, not all of them, but yeah. What is like a couple of your most memorable, dude?
Well, a couple that I wrote bits on, and a lot of people think they're bits and they're real stories. Is
sure.
We had a guy in the neighborhood that we used to call Larry the Shaken Baker.
Okay.
And every time you pulled this fucking guy over, he would say that he was having a diabetic attack and that he needed insulin and he was trying to get home. So sure as shit, I pull him over one time and he's going 65 miles an hour in a 15 mile an hour school zone. And I'm like, bro, you're getting a ticket. And he's all pissed off. He's like, no, I'm gonna have a seizure. I gotta go home and get my insulin. I'm like, fuck you. I'm giving you a ticket. And I said, you need an ambulance? I'll call you one.
Right.
So as I'm walking back to my car, sure as shit, I look back, he gets out of the car, looks both ways for traffic, falls on the ground, and starts like seizure salinating on the ground. And he's doing his thing, and mid-seizure, he stops, lifts up his head, again, looks to make sure traffic is clear, and then goes back to Harlem shaking. And I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And I wrote him his ticket. I wish I had a little Caesar's pizza coupon or something. But my point is, my point is, these people exist.
Oh, for sure.
And
it's so real.
So that happened. And then the one joke I think you heard that I said yesterday, the orgy call, that really fucking happened. So I was like 22 years old and I get this call that there's a loud noise complaint and it's described as an orgy in progress. So I'm like 22. I'm fucking excited. Like, I'm
pants
thinking,
off. You're ready to go, dude.
I'm like thinking girls tickle fights, pulling their hair. And then sure as shit, we pull in the subdivision and it's a retirement community.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh my God, I'm ready to like turn around, like fuck this noise complaint. And then everything that you're thinking is what I saw.
Yeah.
Fucking naked people, wrinkles, hair, look like a litter of Sharpays.
Super long titties,
yeah.
dude.
Yeah.
Right?
right.
Yeah.
And then a part that I didn't make it in the bit, but really happened is there was a sofa table next to the door that I walked in.
Okay.
And I'm just going to tell him, hey, you need to shut your blinds, you know, have your bingo game somewhere
yeah,
else.
Yeah, yeah.
And I lean on this sofa table and my hand goes into some kind of like KY jelly, old man DNA. I don't fucking know.
You know if it was cum or not, dude.
Bubba, I don't want
to
know.
You know if it was cum or not, Jim, and you need to fess up right now. Do you know if it was cum?
After I tasted it, I'm not sure.
After I tasted it, I knew for sure it was cum. Yeah.
So my hand like slips and I fucking whack my elbow and I'm like bleeding. And I get pissed off and I'm like, that's it, your fucking game's over. Everyone get out of here. And that was probably the most disgusting. And then probably, what's another one I can share quickly? I haven't wrote a joke on it, but it happened. I was about a week out of FTO, which FTO is field training. So I went through training and I just got out of training and I get a loud noise complaint again at a hotel. And I go into the hotel room and where this loud noise is coming from, the guy opens the door and I see behind the guy, there's a briefcase with more drugs than I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
And pills, different. I'm not a drug guy, but I'm seeing all these like different colors.
They were not prescribed.
Straight out of the, you know, yeah. And there's people laying on the ground, all fucking stoned and out of it, needle hanging out of one of their arms.
Party,
dude. This is what I did. All I'm thinking in that moment, and I'm telling you, the most drugs I've ever seen, right. And to this day, the most drugs I ever saw in my whole career, this is how this professional police officer handled this call. All I'm thinking is, I don't know exactly what those drugs are. I don't know the forms and the paperwork that's involved. I don't know how to call this in. And I said, sir, you can't do that here.
Yeah. I go, excuse me, sir.
Yeah. You have to leave now. You can't be doing that here. The guy grabs his briefcase, looks at me like, for real? Like, you're going to let me go? Like, just get the fuck out of here.
And see, guys, they're out there, man.
Yeah, and
the good ones are out there, dude.
Or the dumb ones. And then to this day, that's got to be a story that guy still says. He's got to be like,
oh, there's no way.
Yeah, he's got to be like, man, I had fucking, you know, $10,000 in drugs, and this cop's like, just get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, yeah. That guy got a once in a lifetime.
Yeah,
that's the moment where like the next day you sell the rest of your shit and you and you find God or something. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way. Like, what's his name? Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. What was that dude? That movie was based off of. I'm sorry, listeners. Fuck, dude. Sorry. But if you're in Las Vegas, if you haven't seen that movie, it's fucking wild. And I'm sure his briefcase looked exactly like the one you saw.
Oh, yeah. So it was insane.
I'm sure you have Netflix and shit, right?
Yeah.
It's on Netflix now. It's a classic, dude. It's a young Johnny Depp. He's a writer, and he goes to Las Vegas for some business meeting, whatever, but he brings like an arsenal of drugs, and they just fucking
gotcha.
The movie is great. Like, and I forget, there's another really, really famous actor that co-stars in it that does dude, it's just such a good movie, and the acting in it is so good, so I recommend it to you. Anyone who hasn't seen it, watch it. Even if you don't like drugs, just watch the movie.
Yeah, I think that guy's pretty happy that I'm going. He'd probably still be in jail if I actually did the proper forms and arrested him.
Yeah, dude.
And then all the traffic stops, man, just fucking people high going 10 miles an hour on the freeway. I mean, it's
like
insane.
That for real?
Oh yeah.
Like the completely stereotypical wouldn't believe it type shit. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
And my personal belief, it doesn't mean that it jives with what's legal or whatever, but
sure.
I don't care what people do in their house, but I do have a strong belief system that we don't need to be driving cars in those conditions.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I mean,
for
people
sure.
get killed and stuff like that, but yeah, I mean, I've seen quite a bit of crazy. I pulled over a guy one time. He was completely fucking naked, and he was.
I don't know why that's illegal, honestly.
Yeah, he should have been. I mean, a lot of jiggles and jugs going on.
Hey, man, it's hot out here, bro.
What was the drug he was on?
If he was that hot, probably some stimulant, dude.
Yeah, If you say it, I'd know it.
PCP.
PCP. Yeah. Thank you. Uh-huh. So we end up arresting him. He's completely naked, sweating.
Oh, yeah.
And he fights us.
And he's strong, huh?
Yeah. It took fucking, it took fucking like eight of us.
Yeah, dude.
To get him subdued.
I have a story about that.
And then we bring him to jail and we put him in lockup and he's completely naked. So the pat down was easy. And he starts drinking out of the toilet. And I mean, this is stuff like I gotta format structure and make jokes because it's real. Yeah. This shit really happened. And
that's fucking hilarious.
I'm not a PCP guy, but it was.
Dude, if I ever need to get shit done, it was like a life or death situation, and I needed to sprint across town and fight people.
That's coke times
hook
a
me
thousand or
up. One? I'll tell you how strong that shit is. So. You know what? No, it wasn't PCP. I'm sorry. So the story I'm about to tell is a bath salt story. But,
oh, that shit's crazy.
But PCP, I'm not going to compare them, but like that's as far as strength goes and complete disassociation goes, it's equal as far as the level of that happening. So we get a call, and as you know, people listening, when you get into your truck or your ambulance or a cop car, whatever the fuck, you have a laptop. On the laptop, it gives you a little strip of information and then where the call is and stuff, whatever. And so the first bit of information we get on the ambulance is just a little snapshot of like what's happening, right? If it's like a breathing problem, it's like 51-year-old male with a breathing problem, right? Done. And then later, they send a more detailed message. So the first message we read is man on roof, naked with sword.
That sounds about right.
And yeah. I was like, oh my God. And me and my buddy, Doug, I could say, oh my God, dude. No, it's fine. It's fine. This story's totally fine. Okay. So me and my partner, Doug, oh shit. You know what I mean? Like, no, fucking finally something exciting and not like, you know, fucking horrific or bullshit, you know, something at least a little bit exciting. So we pull up, dude, and there's one other ambulance. There's all kinds of squad cars, and I see this fucking guy on top of a two-story house with a katana. His butt-ass naked, dude. Giant dick. It was crazy, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
And he wasn't saying shit. He was just, like shifting all quick, and, like, I was like, oh, my God, this is so nuts. And so we're screaming for him to get down, whatever. And then he just jumps off.
Oh, my God.
The second story of the roof and starts... He drops the sword, obviously. He probably broke his legs, but he got up and charged the police officers. And the police officers tackled, and we all fucking had to, like, literally, again, eight of us, exactly, two ambulances and two squad cars.
Bath salt guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
fighting
crazy.
Us off, dude. And so here's the craziest thing I've ever seen. You know, like, the handcuff keys are super short, right? Tiny little keys. This fucking guy got a hold of the officer's hand that was holding the handcuff key and, like, put the key between his index finger and his thumb and bent it into a 90-degree angle.
Yeah.
Bent a handcuff key.
Wow.
And I was like, holy shit. And I was just not, like, laughing, but I was, like, smiling. Like, this is fucking insanity. So we finally get him strapped down, 4 points, bro. We get a fucking head strap on his ass, too. Dude's spitting at everybody. And that was just like the wildest shit. Like,
did you ever see that movie Limitless with Bradley Cooper?
Yeah,
I did. Pill and his brain opens up.
Right.
It does. When you see people in that condition, you wonder like what have we not tapped into?
No, dude.
Because it's like
Limitless is a movie
fuck?
About LSD, dude. Don't let a beepus naked.
Oh, okay. I was tricked.
Not about it, but it's just very similar effects. So I heard.
You heard from a friend?
Yeah. Heard from a friend inside of me.
That looks like Thor.
Yeah. Heard from this guy. His name rhymed with Ubba. But
my point is, I think there's a lot of, stuff we don't understand about what our bodies can do.
And then, you know, it's really crazy. And then even, not on a sad note, it's not sad because like this fucking woman was just a nightmare, but this woman, I know her first, middle, last name still, dude. I remembered her address up until maybe a year ago. Like, that's how many times we ran on her every fucking day, all right? We'd go to this woman's house. She'd get drunk as fuck at, like, 11, 12, 1 o'clock, call 911, tell them that she's having chest pains, so you have to take her to the hospital no matter what now. We get there, dude. She's combative and all the time, dude. Fucking swinging at cops. I've seen her get beanbag gunned. I've seen her get tasered. Rubber pellets, dude. We had to hog tie her one time. Like, dude, this bitch was fucking insane.
How old are you talking?
She's like 45, wow. 50 maybe. Like, not even that fucking old, dude. She's just a drunk bitch. And then, like, she's in last time I heard, she's in prison for abuse of the 911 system.
Oh, wow.
She went to jail first. It got that bad.
Right.
And then jail again. And they're like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? You better stop. And now prison. Like,
wow.
And when she gets out, there's no way she's not going back if that's what she's going to keep going for.
Right.
And that kind of shit ruined that job for me completely.
What's the grossest thing you've seen?
Oh, my God. I've seen so much gross shit, dude. It just depends what kind of gross. There's so many kinds of gross that I didn't really know existed after that job. Like gore, or like, how is this possible? Right. Or just fucking. I think the grossest thing to me, and this isn't necessarily the goriest or the craziest, but the grossest thing to me was we went on this call. And again, we get a little strip of information about what's happening. And all we got was... diabetic issue, worms coming out of feet.
Oof.
I was like, what the fuck, you know? And we go there, and this like lady had her foot like in a fries bag, and then wrapped up all the way with like, you know, whatever ace banded shit or whatever.
Right.
Dude, it's so fucking disgusting. So dude, like she's diabetic and she's been having circulation issues. And so we unwrap her foot, dude, and her foot is absolute fucking Sharpie black.
Oh,
and dude, her toenails were upright. Like her toenails were literally upright. Mm-hmm. And then there's maggots.
Wonder how much money she would crawling, got on that website.
Crawling out of her toenail beds, dude.
She's a millionaire now?
I have no idea, but I know she's a fucking G. You know why?
Why?
Because we were like, all right, you need to go to the hospital for sure. Like, do you want us to take you or do you want your husband to take you? Like, and she was like, I'll have my husband take me. I'm like, oh, thank fucking God. Holy shit. Thank God.
Yeah.
Because I was working in a city where there was two EMTs on the truck. It wasn't always a paramedic and an EMT. So one had to treat in the back. One had to drive.
Right.
So we'd switch off, and I was treating that day. So if she would have gotten the fucking vehicle, I would have had to have treated her. Mm. And I just like, oh, please no, dude. Like, I was just like, please no, please no, please no. And I had the same experience with like this fucking 500-pound hoarder lady.
Oh, yeah.
We had a call for a bariatric gurney, and like we got a call that we needed to go to. And they're like, all right, man, we're still waiting for the gurney. Go ahead. I'm like, oh, dude, there is a God. He is here tonight. Thank you, Lord, dude. She had a fucking one lever for her chair to put her feet up and another lever to open a hole underneath her chair so she can just shit into a bucket.
Wow.
And her son just took care of her, dude.
Wow.
I felt so bad for that
kid,
man.
It's sad to know people exist like that. So I know, the grossest one for me.
I know.
We had a lady to this day, I think the cat count in her house was like 64, I want to say.
Oh my.
She had 64 cats, and this lady was in her 80s. And she refused to leave the house. Her neighbor would literally put food at her front stoop that she would grab and then go back in the house. And we walk in that house, and as soon as we walked in, we went there for a well-being check. We walk in, and immediately I see red dots all over my arms. And I'm pretty fair complected. And what I realize is it was fleas. We got immediately attacked by fleas. And we're like, where is this all coming from? The cats, whatever. We go in her bathroom, and half of the bathtub was filled with shit. She was shitting in her bathtub. I mean, it was just disturbing.
Oh.
So we're totally infested with fleas all over our uniform, everything. We get her an ambulance, get her shipped off.
People, dude.
But then we're like, what do we do? Like, we can't go in the squad car. We can't go back to the station. We're going to infest everything. And so I go home, I strip down, throw all my clothes in a garbage bag.
Fire.
And yeah. Throw it in the dumpster.
Right.
But I was on that call with an old timer. He had like 27 years on the job.
He didn't go in, huh?
No, he went in.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, fuck it, I'm going back to the station. Fuck them. I'm doing whatever I want. And they told us, don't come back to the station, you know, delouse. And he goes back to the station. He not only infected his car, he infected the station. And the station got shut down and bug bombed for 3 days. He got 3 days off for that. But that was probably the grossest one.
Dude, that makes my fucking skin crawl, man.
It was bad. I felt so bad for that lady. And, you know, you try to do like a call to get family or friends. And she didn't have any. She was 80-something years old. And if she did have anybody, they didn't want to have anything to do with her. We couldn't find anyone for her. I mean, her friends and her purpose in life at that point was her cats. And, you know, she was obviously delusional on some level.
I think that Trump is evil enough to make it happen. I think there needs to be like a new law that maybe it's like, hey, man, you know,
what?
You know, lady, it's time. It's time to go.
You're just going to end her?
Just time to go, you know, really.
Let's give her a shower first and feed her.
Yeah, for sure. Clean her cats. Let her have 1 day in a clean house and or maybe a week or something. And just that's it.
That's it?
That's it. Because, I mean, she doesn't even at this point, she probably doesn't even fucking know if she even wants to exist anymore.
Right.
And I'm not trying to think for anyone, but, you know, it's just. Cheaper than a hospital bill, probably. Yeah.
We took a turn, Bubba. Wow.
I'm a good guy, but, you know, hey. No, and honestly,
there's a lot of gross stuff.
It's a lot easier for me to speak, not ill, but like just jokingly, like morbidly about extremely old people because I've legitimately, none of my family members have ever made it that old.
When you do those kind of jobs, yeah, you see that kind of stuff. I mean, all the car accidents.
Oh, yeah, the man.
Little kids and drownings and suicides, murders.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting that, you know, when you don't know what the body does. Like, we had a guy kill himself in a garage where he just started the car.
Right.
And did you realize what happened to the body when you get carbon monoxide dye?
No.
At least this guy. I mean, his body like bloated up. It was all purple. I mean, yeah. It's just disgusting.
Yeah.
And then the thing that fucking like haunted me about that call is he kills himself. We walk into the kitchen and we see a poster that he made on the wall. And it says to his wife that I guess he caught cheating on her. Cheating on her or whatever. It writes, "To death do us part."
What a pussy.
Go in the garage.
What a pussy, and I was, man.
Like, oh my God. Like, come just on, so dude. Morbid, dude.
Dude, look at, I know this is, I hope no one that's listening is going to take this the wrong way because they've been listening for a while, probably. Like, just listen, dude. I really don't have, it's nothing to be against because it's a person to person thing. Maybe sometimes it's a legitimate illness or inability to see the good in a situation, whatever it may be. I don't demonize suicide. I don't think that it's ever something that's inexplicable. I get how someone can get to the point of like, yeah, not living sounds better. I'm not condoning it. I'm not doing anything. I'm just saying, don't be that fucking guy.
Or just so selfish.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, dude, if you're going to really...
It's the people you leave behind.
Exactly. If you're really going to exit, dude, and someone did you that wrong...
It doesn't have to be so dramatic.
You don't got to be such a fucking bitch about it. Like, right. Oh my God, dude.
Well, you know who found him? You know who found him? Probably not what he expected.
Probably not his fucking wife, dude.
No, it was his kid. His 14-year-old kid found him like that.
See, fuck that guy, man.
How selfish is that?
Fuck that guy, dude. And not fucking like, I'm glad he did it. I'm just saying,
you know what
fuck
I felt
that guy.
The worst for was the bird. He had a bird. And for some reason, he didn't put a towel on the door properly.
Shit.
And the carbon monoxide went in the house and the poor bird died.
Oh, man.
We all felt bad about the bird.
Dude, he fucking learned a new word that day. Pow! Pow! Like, it's like one tone of just the monoxide gas. He's mimicking it. Oh, man.
See, and that's the one thing, too. When you talk to somebody that is in the line of work that you were and then what I was or sure. A military guy, you know, there's somebody that's going to listen to this and go, what the fuck are they talking about? That's so twisted. But the thing is, you almost have to become twisted listening or seeing that stuff. Dude. Because if you don't, you'll go crazy.
And you know what's the craziest part I'm sure you can attest to is like, when you see something you thought that you'd freak the fuck out about, like mm-hmm. You were thinking about, oh, man. I really don't want to see like someone decapitated or I really don't want to see someone, but
right.
And it happens. There's like no hesitation or like lapse in action, like when it's your job.
Right.
There's like no like, oh my God, like, well, oh dude, I don't want to touch that. Like
movies make shit look more disgusting than the real thing. I mean,
sometimes
you almost like disconnect. My wife teases me all the time. So, she'll cut her leg shaven and I'll be in the bathroom and I say that she cut her leg and I don't know why, right. but I like freak out or my kid gets a bloody nose.
Right.
I freak out. And then they're always like, didn't you see this, this, and this? And I'm like, I don't know.
That was my job though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you guys. Yes. Exactly. It's weird.
Dude, I saw someone throw up on the street and I was like, oh God, dude. I can't fucking look at that. I have legitimately seen someone projectile vomit over the entire interior of the ambulance and just been like, you motherfucker, and not even bat an eye about how disgusting it was. Just
right.
My immediate thought was like, I'm going to have to clean this shit up, dude. You fucking piece of shit, man.
Right.
And dude, I got jaded so quickly doing that job. I will be the first to say it, dude. That job, I already disliked the majority of people anyways, but that job made me hate people like on a very, very general level. And I quit when I felt that. I was like, oh, no.
I was doing Lyft for a little bit and fucking, I had like three people throw up in the back seat. And I was like,
fuckers, dude.
Fuck this.
Yep,
I can't do it.
Fuck that, bro.
And I had like six vomit bags back there, but of course they don't.
Of course they don't.
They don't look at them.
Fuck, man. I'm so happy that I'm out of that because my dad is retired.
Did you Uber Lyft or?
No, I do.
Oh, you're talking about
DoorDash. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
I do DoorDash sometimes. That's pretty cool. But no, my dad was 26 years on at Tempe Fire Department. Like, I really honestly had a very clear path to that whole career.
Gotcha.
But working on the ambulance and understanding how closely related those two jobs are in Phoenix, because they don't keep, you know, the fire and EMS completely separate. They like run every fucking call together, no matter what. And just knowing that that's what they had to do, I'm like, fuck this shit, dude. And that was my whole life plan. My whole life was like, oh, firefighter. Like, dude, never thought of anything other than that. And then I think I was like 23, I quit. Or 20, like right when before I turned 23, I quit. And I was like, I have no idea what I'm going to do. And I still fucking pretty much don't, but I know what I like, what I like doing, you know,
You're doing this, man.
Yeah. I'm going to do this until something happens, or if it doesn't, fuck it. But
it's
like, this is a thing that I love to do. There's really not, you know, a lucrative aspect of this for a very long time. And if I have to work equally as hard for equal amount of time, which I'm ready to do, but it's not the focus. I just like doing this. Like,
right.
There's always something to talk about. There's always someone interesting. I've always got a friend that I can like really have a good conversation with. And we do it all the time anyways, when they come over and we smoke or whatever. So
right.
A few years ago, I was like, dude, fuck that. Like, let's just start a podcast. And did one, like a couple of years, maybe two or three years ago, my buddy Guyver, and that was like the most fun ever, but our schedules became conflicting and it was almost impossible to be consistent with. So that kind of just pattered out. And then, I got like super fucking depressed for the first time since, dude, I was like fucking, it's been a long time since I got like that bad. And I was like, all right, man, I got to do something. So I started up this podcast and then I started doing comedy and I was like, all right, dude, let's do it. And that was like it. So here we are.
Bubba is the known guy in the scene, but he doesn't admit it.
No.
He's doing good things.
We're
loving this guy.
Thank you, man. I'm just trying. You know, I really am. And this is like a new feeling for me to feel like I've done something and then end result yielded the thing I wanted. Like, that doesn't happen very often.
And this is your full-time gig, right? You didn't?
No.
You?
Oh, no. Well, I mean, I don't work at my previous employer anymore, but I'm working with Southwest Mushrooms. My buddy Mike owns a mushroom company, and we do gourmet mushrooms and culinary and everything. And I've been helping him.
Oh, I thought
pretty
you were
much
talking about, like, the other mushrooms.
Oh no!
Wow, they legalized that now too.
No. Oakland though, Oakland decriminalized them. So
did they really?
Yeah, and so did Colorado, and so did another random ass. Random ass city did it too.
So you're listening to certain news, just not all
the
kinds
ones that
of news.
Yeah. My friends share the news that matter, like
gotcha.
that we can take action on, like. we own a mushroom business, or not we, but Mike owns a mushroom business and I work with him. And if that becomes decriminalized in
Phoenix, money, man,
then that means there's a market for it, a legal market for it. And so we're already knowledgeable on how to grow gourmet mushrooms. So it wouldn't be a fucking hard jump.
Right.
You know, so anyways,
I think as these states make money with it, you're going to see it more and more.
Well, and it's undeniable, just like marijuana. It's even more undeniable than marijuana that it helps people who need certain things.
Well, I never understood the whole marijuana thing, meaning that I never fought a person high.
Right.
Ever on pot.
You
ever.
Usually wouldn't.
But fucking drinking.
Yeah.
Like all the time. Every other night.
You know who I have fought when I'm high? Someone drinking.
Right.
That's so it.
I never understood. Yeah. I never understood all the backlash about that. And then my mom, she has cancer and she's been smoking pot for a long time.
Yeah.
And it helps her.
Of course.
And God bless her.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think about, you know, what was it? Just a few years ago, I mean, you'd go to jail for it.
Well, you could still go to prison for it here right now if you don't have your medical marijuana card.
Yeah, okay.
You go to prison if you catch a cop on a wrong day. Like, if he really wants to do it like that.
And again, it depends on the cop.
It really does. Yeah. I've seen people, dude, I've gotten pulled over with weed. I had just smoked a blunt in my car and he pulled me over for speeding. And there's no way, dude, there's no fucking way that it didn't smell like weed. But he just wrote me for the ticket. He was cool as fuck, very nice. And I was like, okay, see ya. He's like, hey, have a good day.
Right.
I'm like, all right.
He's probably right out of FTO, didn't know how to do paperwork.
Or he's probably just like, yeah, not worth it, man. He probably smokes and goes for a drive sometime too. It's fucking relaxing, bro. Like, I got such bad attention fucking problems. I'm not going to self-diagnose myself, but like when I'm sober, dude, it is just like, I'm just not only a different person, but my mind really does work differently. And when I smoke, my thoughts are more direct. They're more, I have more intention with what I'm saying. Like, you know, I'm not saying that I just talk to talk when I'm sober 100%, but it's just more, more navigable, man. Like, I don't know.
I was asking you last night at a mic, I said, have you ever performed, intoxicated in any way? And you said that you can smoke and perform.
Well, I've only performed high up until I did a show with this dude, Jimmy Earl, who is a fucking dude. It is so nice when you see comedy done the way that you remember seeing it done. Like, they're just so fucking good and they've been doing it for so long that it's like, oh, this is like such a cool thing to watch. Jimmy Earl from Sacramento is that fucking guy. Like, he is one of the funniest dudes I've seen live. And so we were smoking outside of Third Space. They did a show the day after. And he asked me, he's like, hey, dude, he goes, do you usually perform like high or whatever? Like, oh, yeah, I've only performed high. Like, I get so fucking nervous, man. Like, I just don't even know what to do besides like smoke. And he challenged me to perform sober. Like, he was like, yeah, try to just not smoke or drink anything. And I don't drink anything before a set ever, usually.
Yeah, but I couldn't perform like that.
I don't think I would like to. But, dude, I fucking did a set sober, and that was the best set I've ever done.
Oh, okay.
So, performing, I'm thinking sober is the way to go. Like, even last night, you know, not my best performance. Like,
you're going to be sober July 7th at 7 p.m.?
Yeah, I absolutely will be. But after the show...
There might be an asshole in that group, I'm just saying.
But after the show, like, hey, who wants to hit my pen, dude? Like, come on, guys. No, but...
You're like, Jim's inviting me to a room full of cops.
Hey, it's not ever illegal to be high. That's not ever illegal. But if you smoke, you know... Whatever, but yeah,
I don't think anyone gives a shit anymore, but so, I could be wrong.
Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of sets recently sober, and I feel way more expressive. My hand gestures are a lot more enunciated.
Work the stage more.
It's easy. Like, I make eye contact with everybody more and stuff, and it's just like, all right, man, like, I think performing, that might be the way to go. Now, I will say, though, when I have performed 100% sober, there I miss a couple of tiny punch-ups or like little lines that
tags.
I usually and so that's kind of not concerning, but it's just something I gotta work on. But yeah, man, I've done both now. I've never performed drunk. I think that'd be fun to try at an open mic, you know,
at a mic, who cares?
Yeah where it doesn't really actually doesn't matter. I think that'd be great. I'll probably do that pretty soon. I performed under the influence of psychedelics before. Not recommend, don't do it. Just don't do it, man. It feels so bad. It feels so uncomfortable, dude. It's
Did
not good.
Did you have anyone record it? So you?
No, I don't think so. But it was fun. And it was funny, like
to you,
to me, yeah. But it wasn't good, dude. Yeah. So I just like to see, and it wasn't like a day where I woke up and I was like, okay, I'm about to go perform and I'm gonna do this. It was like a day where it was already happening,
right?
And like someone drove, like was driving me up there anyways, and I was like, okay, cool.
What kind of? Can I ask?
Yeah,
what kind of psychedelics?
On LSD, yeah.
And then how long does that last?
Well, depending, it just really kind of depends on the amount you take, but. Usually it's anywhere between like 5 to 12 hours or something like
now,
that.
Now what's the fear of, cause I've heard it all the time.
Sure.
You probably even know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Where you take that and it never stops.
Yeah, man. That
is that
such
totally
a
exaggerated bullshit?
Yeah, man.
Cause you hear that all the time.
Because so the first time I ever did mushrooms, right?
Well, mushrooms I've heard is much different and I don't know anything, by the way, but
okay.
What I'm telling you I've heard.
Sure.
Is that mushrooms are more organic, right?
And of course.
It resets your brain. It lasts like 4 or so hours.
Sure.
But LSD is chemical, right?
So
don't you have to be a lot more careful with that if you take too many dots or blots or whatever it's called?
So here's the thing.
I sound like a child.
No, NASA, dude.
But I don't know anything about
this. This is literally a chance for me to educate because I have the knowledge and it's not an opinion. So this is great. I like to do this because there's a lot of people who never explore the possibility of those things not being true because it's not important to them or whatever. Right. And I didn't really either. So before the first time I took mushrooms, I read about it a little bit. I read a whole bunch of trip reports. Every one of my friends had done it. Like I asked them about all the times they've done it. And I've only heard like one bad experience, but the one bad experience was consistent with advice, what not to do when you're under the influence. So I was like, okay, so this seems pretty safe, right? And so I took them with a couple of people I trust more than anything, which is important. And that day I was just, dude, I could talk about that experience for hours, man. But the whole gist of it was I was so upset at all the people in my life that had something so bad to say about these things. And just like scared me into not even considering taking it my whole adolescence. I had this crazy, like, you know, elitist point of view, like, you're taking mushrooms now, so you fucking loser, dude. Like, what the fuck are you doing? I was that guy. And then I tried mushrooms. I was like, dude, literally everything I've ever heard about mushrooms is wrong. And it was the most beautiful day up until this day. It was the most like an awakening moment, as cliche as that sounds. And so after that, then I was like, what is this shit? And I learned out about everything, dude. And I just know a lot. And what I can say is the way that mushrooms affects your brain is the same exact way that LSD affects your brain. It's just an LSD. LSD is a different compound, but very, very similar compound to psilocybin is the compound that makes it.
Don't you have to be very careful of who you get it from?
Yeah. So here's why, though. And here's why. So mushrooms, you're good. Like, you're pretty much good, dude. If someone says, like, hey, I have psychedelic mushrooms for you, you can look at them and just know. Or if you don't know, you can literally post it on a fucking thread at Reddit and be like, oh, yeah, that's better, better, better. You're good to go. Like, it's very easy to identify. So with LSD, people have been getting this stuff called research chemicals. There's different variations of this, 2CI, 2CB, a whole bunch of different variations. And it's all psychedelic properties, but it's not LSD. It's not that property that makes you trip. So what they do is like get a different chemical that does similar things to your brain, but because it's not LSD, your brain can get damaged off of shit like that if
right.
It's not real. You really can. And there is a lethal dosage level, it's LDS, for those drugs. And there is no LDS for real LSD and mushrooms, meaning you could never you could never ingest enough to die. Like, it doesn't do anything to your
mushrooms
physiology. Both cannot. The only thing that I maybe could happen that maybe has happened before is like it does affect the synapses in your brain and the way that your brain communicates with each other. Like, when they finally released a thermal image scan of a sober brain, which had like the top was just heat map, it was like red, and then a brain on LSD. So crazy, dude. So crazy. Parts of your brain that never activate are communicating with each other. And that's what causes the shift in perspective and like shift in just thought and feeling and stuff. And you can't die from it. That's a fact. You can die from doing stuff. You
could see God
on it. Dude, I'm not going to be here and preach, but it's there's no way that psychedelics weren't the birth of religion, bro. Because whatever God, whatever you think God is what you become closer to with those. And that's a fucking, that's a shared experience. If you've had anything but a bad trip, you can, everyone can agree that it's just and a very, very important thing. And it's sad that it's as legal as it is. But if you do just come across an opportunity and you're comfortable and you do your research and you're just not absolutely petrified of the idea, I say fucking ask about it and see if you can get some friends together that you love and just have a good day. Don't do too much. That's another mistake that everyone fucking makes, dude. Everyone thinks they have to eat an eighth of mushrooms their first time because that's just like, well, that's what everybody eats. Do not eat that much for your first time, dude. Unless you're just the happiest person ever and you have no tragedy in your life that's ever occurred. Fine, then do that. But like, it's a reality enhancer, man. It'll bring every single thing up that you're not happy with in your life straight to the fucking front. Oh, wow. And it allows you to process it in a way that you can't do it sober, man. You can't. And everyone who's never tried it will disagree with that. Doesn't matter because you haven't done it.
Right.
I changed my entire being consciously with the help of psychedelics, dude. Like it allows you to become someone you actually want to be.
There's a comic.
It's insanity.
That
dude.
Did a documentary on that. Do you really? Know what I'm talking about?
Uh-uh.
It just came on Netflix a couple weeks ago.
Netflix?
It's all about LSD. And basically, he's a comedian. You'll love it.
I dude, for, yes.
Because you're saying stuff that he says.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I wish I knew it off the top of my head, but
I'll look it up for sure.
It
for
just
sure.
came out.
Dude, yeah.
And what he does is he does stand up throughout the country, mm-hmm. and he does every different drug. And a lot of it was about mushrooms and LSD.
Yeah.
And then he reports it.
It's just...
And then there's all these doctors talking about the benefits of it.
Yeah. Well, dude, it's undeniable. That's the thing is like... We've been able to do such a good job.
Just say no to drugs, kids.
Yeah, for real. No, there's a lot of drugs to say no to, man. To be, dude, there's so many drugs in the majority.
We have a former DARE officer, and now we're talking about LSD.
But that's the thing, though. That's progress, man. Because you cannot lap you, dude. You can't lump those drugs in with the other ones because you know what creates a Schedule One or a Schedule Two, Three. There's different tiers of what it takes to become. The most illegal drug ever.
They talk about all that.
Zero medical benefits at all. Potential of harm once ingested. Da, da, da. No. Like, it's just scientifically no. You know what I mean? And so the government or whoever you want to call it has done such a good job of keeping it from being widespread. But we're in the fucking, you know, era of the internet, dude. Mm-hmm. And you can't hide it anymore. You can't hide the benefits. You can't hide the research that's been done in the UK. The University of London has been getting the okay to keep doing these studies on MDMA, now LSD, and then Berkeley's doing mushroom studies now. It's like, dude, sorry, government. Like, you're going to have to change this shit. And now they're decriminalizing mushrooms in cities.
Right.
The change has begun, dude. And the worst thing that could happen for the government is everyone to take mushrooms. That's the worst thing that could ever happen because it makes you love yourself and value yourself.
We'll all become enlightened.
Yeah. And what benefit is that to a society that's run off of cogs? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, run off of fear. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to what we started, where we started is that we won't all hate each other anymore.
No, dude. Like, I haven't fought anybody since I started smoking weed and taking psychedelics. But there was a point in time in my life, man, where that was an every weekend thing sometimes. Like,
wow.
I had no control over my anger at all.
Wow.
No control over my, like, reaction to disrespect or to just discomfort.
I was going to say, you don't seem like that kind of guy at
all. I'm not anymore. I could get there, I'm sure. But, like, dude, things that have happened now that I would jump to, it's just like, nah, man. Like, the worst thing that could ever happen in my life would be go to prison. Mm-hmm. That's the worst thing that could ever happen, period. And it's not worth it to me anymore. Like, if I had to defend someone, okay, whatever. But nah, man, it's been almost 8 years now. So that's fucking sick, dude. Yeah. But anyway, so shout out to psychedelics and cops. shout out to military. Dude, your guys' reign's coming to an end pretty soon, too. Don't let... Because now I hear so many accounts of, you know, military personnel taking mushrooms because it doesn't show up in their urine, on in their drug tests. And... Which is fine. It's a good loophole.
Yeah.
If that drug was what drug that kept you in war mode, like if you give the dudes on the front lines access to mushrooms, they're going to be like, what?
You'd be hugging the enemy.
You'd be like, yo, dude, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, oh my, I think I'd rather go to prison, I think. You, like, dude, it really changes your perspective. And everything that I thought was just kind of like, like, that's not how you feel. And I'm like, oh, you're right.
Do you feel that immediately after your first exposure to it?
Immediately. My life was changed in 5 hours.
Wow.
Yep. And I'm not bullshitting, dude. Everyone can attest. I swear to God, you talk to anybody that's delved into that.
Were you still motivated after that to do life? Or did you look at everything through a different mindset?
Both. So not only was I motivated to do life, I was like, I didn't know life could be like this. Like, seriously, right. Like true happiness can be attained sober, sure, but like it takes a lot of work, man. And people compare mushroom trip to 5 years of therapy, 10 years of therapy in one night.
Oh my God. You hear that quote
so many times.
You have to watch the documentary.
Well, and the documentary is going to say a lot of shit that's been said, and yeah. it's great that they've merged the, you know, traveling and comedy and psychs together. That's going to be a great documentary, but these things have been there, and it's really hard to read about it or to pay any interest when you don't do it or when you're not even interested in it or you're scared of it. And it's like, that's fine, like ignorance is bliss type shit, but people are missing out, man. Like, I'm an advocate, and and you have to respect it, dude. It's not one of those things you can take at a fucking party for your first time and be okay. Like, you have to understand how easily swayed you are, like your emotions are on that thing. Like, you don't want people you don't like around you. You don't want any kind of weird music that makes you feel scared or something. Like, it's right. Very sensitive until you get used to being in that mindset. And then you can fucking the first thing I do is ask myself, like, what in my life am I not happy with? And if there's anything, I deal with that shit right then and there, dude. Like, it's a decision that I can make because I know it's the clearest, most...
Do you get all emotional when you do
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, I'll listen to a fucking certain song and just cry, dude. Like, I'm talking like cry, and I know I need it. You know what right. I mean? It's not like a thing where it's like, what's happening to me? It's just like, no, like I need to. Yeah, some things are just so fucking beautiful. When you're on that shit, you just cry because of how beautiful it is. Like, right. Some of the trees or flowers you see on that, it's just like, oh my fucking God. Like, it's just a different, you're really seeing life through a clear lens for the first time, dude. You're feeling everything you're supposed to feel. None of the feelings you have are fake. Like, everything you see is the way it's supposed to look. Because even science will tell you, even our ocular, like, you can't, we only absorb a certain percentage of light, which allows us to perceive a certain percentage of color, contrast, even ability to see like particles in the air. Once you take that shit, dude, it legitimately scientifically raises the gates. You have two separate receptors that allow more in.
Right.
And it's legitimately raising your like ability to like receive and process your emotions, your sight, the hearing becomes super, super hypersensitive. Like, it's fucking, it's like limitless, dude. Swear to fucking God, man. It's crazy. It's so cool. But, well, cool is not, I guess it's not the right word or a very professional word. I'm not professional. So fuck everyone. No kids, man. Yeah, no kids, dude. Wait until you've experienced your first full-blown tragedy. Give it some time and then go in. I don't want you believing life is so good that bad shit don't happen. You got to have someone at least die first, dude. You got to. But anyways, dude, this was the easiest hour and a half conversation
I've probably ever had in my life.
Yes.
Are you serious?
And I only have to stop because I have a show. No and worries, like, this is great, man.
Thanks
very,
for having me,
very
bro.
Happy to have you here. Again, guys, July 7th at Scottsdale Comedy Spot Comedy Club. Two shows, 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock p.m. First one's almost sold out, so if you want to get there early and have time to fucking really party,
and
go
Bubba,
ahead.
Bubba's performing too. So.
Yes, yes. Jim was fucking kind enough to ask me to do a quick 10-minute set there, dude, for a good cause. I'm going to perform in front of a whole bunch of cops, ex-cops, ex-people. Those are my guys, man. I know their senses of humor are very comedically focused. Like, those, I've never laughed harder in my life than banter at the fucking fire station, dude. Those right. guys are comedians and they don't even know it.
Right.
They just, seeing that stuff, it forces you to have a sense of humor or it's going to swallow you. One of right. the two. And it's usually the first. It's usually like, okay, like I've seen enough for it not to fuck me up maybe anymore so bad, and I start to view the comedy aspect of it. And I'm really excited, man, to perform in front of that group, and it's for a really good cause. My dad will be there. He's a retired fireman.
Oh,
so,
is he? Awesome.
Yeah, he'll be there, dude, and it'll be fun, man. It's gonna be great. So please take a moment to plug up everything you have. I'll leave all the links in the description, of course. Before we do, please, please, guys, go to www.covacoffee.com and order yourself some Cova coffee. They sponsor the podcast. I love them very much. It's so fucking good. I'll make sure that you leave with a bag if you like coffee.
Yes.
Okay, so you'll leave with a bag for sure. I actually had the pleasure of stopping by their San Diego location at the West End this previous weekend. They hooked me up with a free drink card. Got to slap hands with the barista. Such a fucking cool building. Such a cool place. So if you're in San Diego or Portland, make sure you stop in at Cova Coffee to get some of the fucking fire, fuegocito, whatever you want to fucking call it, dude. So love you guys. CovaCoffee.com. Use code COVA5 for $5 off your order. Jim Perry, let us know where we can find you.
Yeah, you can find me at thecopcomic.com. Again, thecopcomic.com. That'll lead you to all my social media, all my videos, and our screenplay just got picked up to be a feature. So
it got picked up, dude.
It did, yeah. So we're going to either be filming in...
Hands in the air, dude. Yeah, fucking congrats, man. I know we've submitted a few that have been in high standing, but none have gotten picked up to my knowledge until now.
Yeah, so we're looking at...
Fuck yeah, dude.
If it all goes good, we're looking at fall or spring to start filming.
Great, man.
And it'll be good stuff. So yeah, follow me there. That'll lead you to everything.
So thecopcomic.com.
Yes, sir.
You heard it. Check the link in the description. Also check the link of him getting tased. I'll leave that in there too, dude.
Yeah, there's some good sketches on there too.
Of course. So. I'm actually featured in one too, season two. I make sure you leave the PSA.
He plays the homeless guy. Shocker.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. Make sure you go show some love, subscribe and everything. So guys, thank you so much. This has been another episode of the Hella Tired Podcast with your host, Sad Boy Shinobi, a.k.a. Willy Wonka's Wonder, a.k.a. the Suburban Shaman, a.k.a. Sad Boy Shinobi. I love you guys.